Last weekend's by-election results were, in one sense, no surprise but, in another respect, a bad omen. In Langford Juan de Fuca, the NDP candidate won easily. Ravi Parmar defeated his nearest competitor, Mike Harris of the Conservative Party, by 53% to 20. In Vancouver Mount Pleasant, Joan Philip, the NDP candidate, crushed the runner-up, Jackie Lee of BC United, 68% to 14. It was always a near certainty that the NDP would come out ahead in both seats. Langford Juan de Fuca had been former Premier John Horgan's riding, while Vancouver Mount Pleasant is one of the NDP's safest seats. What happened to the BC United candidates is another story. In the Langford riding, the party's standard-bearer, Elena Lawson, ran a dismal fourth. The party had just 9% of the vote, down from 16% in the last election, well behind the Greens and far behind the Conservatives. That's a striking and ominous result. The Conservative candidate won 20% of the vote, an unheard-of tally for a normally marginal party. In the 2020 general election, the Conservatives took just 2% of the provincial vote. BC United did slightly better in the Vancouver riding, coming second with 14%. But even there, they only just edged the Greens by 3 points, no great accomplishment for a party that hopes to be in government. The message seems clear. The decision to rechristen the Liberal Party as BC United was a colossal error. Perhaps this sounds like hindsight. And yes, we have only 2 by-elections to go on. But when right-leaning voters in Langford abandoned the Liberals in droves, as they clearly did, the verdict is in. BC United was never a name to grab voter attention. A better choice might have been the BC Party. Even then, the decision to rename the party was always hard to understand. Apparently, the new leader, Kevin Falcon, thought the term Liberal suggested too left-leaning a pose. With the NDP far ahead in the polls province-wide, how wise was this? Or perhaps he felt the need to distance himself from the federal Liberals. Yet that was never a problem for Gordon Campbell or Christy Clark. Far more than a name change, the challenge facing Falcon is to clarify where his party stands on such vexed issues as climate change and healthcare reform. Instead, he wasted the better part of his first year in office substituting a lackluster name for one that had decades of voter recognition behind it. Of course, he's not the first to make this mistake. On a non-serious note, some other notable naming ventures of dubious forethought come to mind, including Passmore Gas and Propane, Amagon Funeral Home, STD Contractors, Curl Up and Dye Hair Salon, Little Hope Cemetery, and not to be outdone, Stubbs Prosthetics and Orthotics. Not surprisingly, most of these endeavors failed. Getting back to the point, Premier David Eby is making a name for himself by forceful decision-making. His choices are sometimes controversial. He's interested in government primarily as a mechanism for change, and weighs its performance on that basis. If he continues at his present pace, there's a real danger of voter exhaustion. But first, Falcon and his party have to right their ship. They have to present serious and thoughtful alternatives to an NDP government still coasting on Horgan's popularity. And they have to do so without alienating their small-c conservative base, as the results in Langford Juan de Fuca show. It's sometimes said that opposition parties don't win elections, governing parties lose them. Falcon would be ill-advised to count on that next time around. ... To comment on this article, write a letter to the editor, letters@timescolumnist.com.